is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I talk to a different expert about the tools you need to find the work you want. You'll likely have one or two gaps in your career. Perhaps you got laid off, chose to start a family, or took a break between jobs. What should you say about these kinds of gaps on your LinkedIn profile? Here to talk about this is Katie Fogarty. Katie owns the Reboot Group. She helps job seekers and companies tell better career and brand stories. She joins us today from Long Island, New York. Well, Katie, here's where I want to start. Why should listeners talk about gaps on a LinkedIn profile at all? Why not just wait for an employer to ask?
Mac, that's a great question. Avoiding gaps is not something that works. Employers are going to see if you have a gap on your resume. They're going to be curious about it. And frankly, they're busy. They don't have time to decode your work history. If you have a gap on your LinkedIn profile, on your resume, it's going to be obvious. And it really behooves you to sort of get out in front of it, figure out what you're going to say, and lead with an explanation of your gap.
And let's talk about what you mean when you say gaps, Katie. Is this about being out of work, between jobs, taking care of family members? Give us some examples.
Well, there are really two types of gaps that people have in their work history. They're either involuntary gaps, where perhaps you've been reorganized out of a job, your career, your company might have gone through a merger or an acquisition, they might have had a change in priorities, and your job was eliminated. Sometimes your gap is involuntary because you've been fired or let go for performance issues. Sometimes your gap is involuntary because you had to step out of work and deal with a health challenge. That's one set of gaps. The other set of gaps are voluntary gaps, where you choose to leave the work for the workforce to maybe care for children, to care for an elderly or sick relative, to manage your own kind of personal passions. A lot of times people experience burnout, or they want to take a sabbatical, or they might explore a career pivot and wind up going to do continuing education. So those are basically the two types of gaps that people typically have on their work histories.
Well, let's dig in to how people should talk about those kinds of gaps. And you have four tips. Let's start with the first one. You say, explain, don't apologize. Now, tell us more about that, Katie.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mac, before I dive into that, I actually just want to take a minute to do some quick stage setting. I know that for all of your listeners who are job hunting, there's a lot of anxiety that goes along with that. And if you have a gap in your work history, sometimes there's just like increased trepidation about how you're going to get out there and explain it. And I really want your listeners who are experiencing gaps to understand that they are not alone. I work with people every single month who are dealing with either those voluntary or involuntary career gaps that I talked about. And I myself have had career gaps during my own work history. I have a 19-year-old daughter, 16-year-old, and a 5-year-old, and I have left and re-entered the paid workforce twice. So I really know it can be done. And the good news is that gaps, the research has shown that even if you have gaps in your history, that our employers in this very tight labor market are still willing to consider working with you. Resume.go, which is a national resume company, just did some research. When applicants provide a reason for their work gap, when they let the employer know why it happened and what they were doing, they are 60% more likely to actually get and land an interview. So that's point number one. You need to explain what happened during your gap, what you were doing, and why you left. Again, don't make the employer figure it out for you. You need to come up with a simple 1-2 sentence explanation that talks about the gap. If you left to care for children, you'll say that. You'll say, I left the workforce for 5 years. Now that my children are entering kindergarten, I'm returning to work, you know, as whatever it is that you do. So explain your gap, but be clear that it's over as well. Let employers know that the gap has been resolved and that you're back to work.
And why does that work, Katie? Why does just providing an explanation, why is that so persuasive to employers?
Well, you know, employers are human. They too have children. They too have relatives. They too have people in their lives that have left, have gone in and out of work. And they understand that there are reasons that people legitimately step out of the workforce. And as long as you're clear about explaining that you've either cared for a loved one, you've been caring for children, you've been helping out parents, maybe that you've had to temporarily address a health challenge, they get that. And so you're giving them the information they need to understand what happened during that sort of blank space that's showing up on your LinkedIn profile or your resume.
And why doesn't it work? Why is an employer seeing that gap going to have concerns?
Well, yeah, there's the perception that people leave that have gaps on their resumes that are negative. You know, perhaps the person was not able to cut it at work. Perhaps they're disinterested in working. Perhaps they're no longer current. Their skills aren't marketable any longer. So those can be sort of the negative perceptions of the gap. When you fill the gap with the positive explanation of what you were doing with your time, it can help offset those or sort of mitigate or counteract those negative impressions that people might have.
The examples you shared a moment ago were about voluntary departures. Let's talk about involuntary separations, people who have been laid off or even fired. Katie, how do you recommend that a listener talk about those experiences? And then I also want to commend you for sharing your own experiences with gaps. I too have been fired once and laid off once. So it happens to all of us often. But what is your, how do you recommend on LinkedIn that people do talk about those involuntary separations?
Absolutely. I would not recommend talking about your reorganization, your firing, your being laid off directly on your LinkedIn profile. You know, in your LinkedIn About summary, which is where you're really sharing your professional story and making a case for the value that you offer an employer, if you've had a long departure to deal with something like, you know, childcare, then you need to have a 1-2 sentence description to say, you know, after 5 years at home, I'm returning to work. That belongs in your LinkedIn summary. If you've been fired or reorganized out of a job, that is something that I would recommend, you know, not including in your LinkedIn summary, but coming up with an explanation that you can share in an interview, because you are going to get asked about it. If you did want to discuss involuntary separation somewhere on your LinkedIn profile, you could consider including them in your experience section. So if you left a particular, your most recent job because of a reorganization, you could consider including that language in that section saying, you know, after my company went through a merger or went through an acquisition, or even simply coming up with a sentence or a introductory clause that says something like, my company's business priorities shifted and my role at this organization ended. So you could kind of address it there. But involuntary separations are a little trickier than voluntary separations. And I would consider doing that more of an interview than addressing it directly on your LinkedIn profile.
You mentioned in the summary, you gave an example of how to talk about time spent raising a family. Other practical suggestions about some how to talk about other examples you mentioned for voluntary separation, say taking care of a health issue, for example?
Well, when you're mentioning taking care of a health issue, I would be very clear. I would not give too much detail. And I would also be very clear that it's resolved. So you could say that I you know, took a temporary sabbatical to deal with a health challenge, which has since been resolved. In any time that you're talking about your gap and why you stepped out, now that you're looking to re-enter the workforce, you need to create language that's clear that your gap is over. You know, you'll be saying, I cared for children who are now enrolled in school. You know, I was home with young infants who are now in childcare. You're going to want to be very clear that the reason that you left has been resolved so that the employer is not worrying that this could be an ongoing gap.
The second of your four tips, Katie, was to account for your time. Tell us more about this. This is about how you spent the time that you were out of, that you were between jobs.
Absolutely. So, you know, and let me just finish up with the concept of the LinkedIn summary before we move on, Mac, if I can. You know, your LinkedIn summary is really where you're making a case for your value to an employer. So even if you have a gap, it's front and center in your mind. But the employer, what's front and center for them is hiring somebody that's going to be able to help them with their business challenges, that's going to grow their business and move it forward. That's what they're looking for. So you still want to make sure that even though you're doing a 1-2 sentence description in your summary about your gap, that the majority of your real estate on your LinkedIn profile, the majority of the conversation you're having in an interview is making the case for what you can do for the employer and the value that you bring to the table. So the point two about accounting for time can help support this idea. So if you've taken a long-term gap, you still are going to need to account for time and explain what it is that you've been doing. So there are a couple of different ways of doing that. You could choose to highlight some strategic volunteering that you've been doing. And you can also talk about the continuing education that you've been doing to keep your skills up to date, to keep them relevant. And I would love to share two quick stories that can help bring this to life for your listeners.
That would be terrific.
I worked with a fabulous guy. He was a CFO for a chief financial officer for a large financial service company for about 12 years. And he lost his job in a reorganization. This happens to a lot of people. Just the structure of the company changes. And after about 6 months of job hunting, he wasn't really getting the traction he wanted. So he realized he needed to, you know, start accounting for his time. People wanted to know what he's been doing for the last several months. Plus, he wanted to keep busy and start telling a new story. So he began strategic volunteering. He was a board member of a nonprofit, and he looked around and said, "You need my help." And he stepped in as acting CFO and helped kind of like, you know, blow the dust off of their system, set them up with new processes. He was able to make a difference for the organization that he volunteered with in this acting capacity. But he was also then able to talk about this in his interviews because it took him a year to land a job. So when an employer was looking at what he'd been doing, he was able to talk about his work as a CFO for 12 years in the other company, but also what he'd been up to lately, which was really critical. So I recommend that for people. Look around and see how you can, either volunteer or act or advise in different capacities that allow you to account for some of your time.
And how did your client talk about that experience on his LinkedIn profile? What did he say?
Well, he literally used the word acting CFO. So, you know, even though you're working in an unpaid capacity, you don't have to describe your work as a volunteer, which can sometimes, feel a little soft. You know, he was acting as their CFO. He was managing their budgets, their accounting processes, setting up, rigorous processes, just like he would if he were being paid in that capacity. So you could use the word acting. You could use the word advising or consulting, rather than use the word volunteer, which sometimes has implications that are, you know, it's like that it's just it's not as professional, maybe. It's just more that you're kind of pitching in and helping out.
Okay. I want to take a quick break, Katie. And when we return, I want to hear that second story about of your client who used an experience between jobs and how they talked about it on their LinkedIn profile. Stay with us. When we come back, Katie Fogarty will continue to share her suggestions about how to talk about gaps on your LinkedIn profile. As Katie has made clear, hiring managers want you to explain gaps in your job history. Here's something else employers want: candidates who share examples of solving problems that matter to a company. In the best interviews, candidates give examples of past performance instead of making promises about what might happen in the future. That's why the next time you meet with an employer, you're likely to get behavioral interview questions. Do you have your answers ready? I've got a free guide that can help. It's called 100 Behavioral Interview Questions You Need to Know. Go to maxlist.org/questions. It's free. Behavioral interviews start with phrases like, "Tell me about a time," or "Give me an example of." Our new guide shows you how to recognize these and other telltale phrases. We also give you a 4-part strategy for answering any behavioral interview question. And you get a list of the 100 most common questions. Go to maxlist.org/questions. questions. Again, that's maxlist.org/questions. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the Maxlist studio. I'm talking with Katie Fogarty of the Reboot Group. Katie, before the break, you had shared an example, a story of a client of yours who used a volunteer experience to get new skills and talked about that experience on his LinkedIn profile. You had a second story you wanted to share with our listeners too.
Yes, this client was a woman who had had a big consulting job where she did a lot of travel, and then decided the hectic travel pace didn't suit her family life, so she left work, stepped back, and was home with her children for 5 years. And when her youngest went to kindergarten, she was ready to re-enter the workforce. But she had been smart and did a lot of retraining before she went back in, because she knew she'd have to account for that time. Yes, she could simply say on her LinkedIn, I stepped back to be with my children for 5 years. But she knew that she would also need to make a case for her new value. So she actually went and did retraining and left the business consulting space and became a business librarian. So she actually did a 2-year part-time librarian program while she was home. So even if your listeners aren't willing or able to commit to that level of retraining, they can still take classes. They can still do a course. There's a million online courses that you can take to add skills. You can take classes directly through LinkedIn. You can take classes at through Coursera. And this helps your employer look at you, see what you've been doing, even during the times when you're not doing paid work. You have positioned yourself to return, and you're having a refresher of your skills. Because that's one of the big issues with career gaps. Employers can sometimes think that maybe you're not current, that you're not up to date and up to speed. And if you've done some training, even if it's just one or two classes, this helps you tell a different story on your LinkedIn to a prospective employer.
And how do you recommend, Katie, that a listener tell that story on LinkedIn? Where should they put those classes and courses?
LinkedIn allows you to, there's a profile section that you can add to your profile, which is courses and certificates. LinkedIn and a lot of other online digital classes have badges. So if you have taken a class either through LinkedIn or through some of their affiliate partners, the badge for that certificate is, you know, directly on your LinkedIn profile. So it's, you know, it's proof that you've actually taken that class. You can also, if you've been out of work for a number of years, you could simply add your education experience up in your experience section, rather than have it down as an education block, so that you're accounting for your time. Employers really want to see an accounting of what you've been doing, even if it's education, volunteer work, or you know, other things that you've been doing to fill the time since you've been in a paid position. You want to make sure that you're not making them guess. You want to be clear about what you've been doing with your time.
Your third tip for talking about gaps on a LinkedIn profile is to move away from what you call short gaps. What do you mean by this, Katie?
Well, this is the sort of, when you're taking a long voluntary gap to maybe to care for children, this is doesn't fall under that umbrella. This falls more under the umbrella if you've, a short gap might be if you've you know, been fired or left your company for a reason and you're looking for work and it's taking you a while to land it. You know, after the 3-month mark, recruiters, hiring managers, they really want to understand what you've been doing. And so you could do some consulting work where you could kind of hang up your own shingle and do consulting or offer advisory services in whatever your area of expertise is. And this can help offset the perception that you know, that you're not doing anything with this gap. Sometimes those consulting roles turn, so if you've been looking, for example, for, you know, 4 months and it takes you 8 more months to find something, you could be doing consulting during those 12 months. So making, like, eliminating the 4-month gap where you were looking unsuccessfully and the 8-month gap where you're consulting. You could consolidate those months under this one umbrella of consulting work. And sometimes when you work as a consultant or in an advisory capacity at a business, they take you on in that role. And at that point, then you could roll over that kind of consulting work into, if you get hired by that company, then the consulting work that you did for them in that more unofficial capacity can be rolled under your employment once you land there officially.
And to be a consultant, you just need one client, one contract. Nobody's going to ask you if you're working 40 hours a week, are they?
No, that's exactly right. So there's different, even if you're consulting in an unpaid capacity, that you know, you don't have to necessarily say that. I mean, you always want to be authentic and transparent when you're having interviews and in the information you're sharing on your LinkedIn. But, you know, they're not, consulting work is consulting work. If you are doing work for a company, an organization, a nonprofit, you can put that on as consulting work, even if it's, you know, 10 hours a week, not 40.
And what about a listener who might be mid-career or in a senior position or senior point in their career? Looking back, there may have been gaps 5, 10, 15 years ago of 3, 6, even 9 months. Should they list those every position by month and year, or is it okay, or can you skip over that?
LinkedIn allows you to list positions simply by year rather than month, and that can help eliminate, these are for smaller gaps, not the long-term gaps that we talked about, but for small gaps where there might be a 3-month gap between an experience that you started. If you list it by year, sometimes those 3 months just sort of disappear. This works once you've landed someplace, and these are short, tiny gaps in your career past. So you can use the LinkedIn structure rather than entering a month. You can simply enter the year, and then maybe that 2 to 3 month gap disappears. But again, these are only for the short-term gaps. You can't move away from long-term gaps. You can only move away from gaps, I would say, of 3 to 5 months.
Your final of your 4 tips, Katie, is not to just look at gaps, but consider negative perceptions that your LinkedIn page might send. What do you mean by that?
Well, why do gaps matter? Why are people concerned about gaps? Why are we even having this conversation? People are concerned about gaps because they create these negative impressions. And some of the negative impressions around, career breaks are that maybe you are, you're disinterested in work, that maybe you're out of date or not competent, or that your skills are somehow not current. Because we know that's not true, because we know you have so much to offer, you want to make sure that your profile is communicating that to a prospective employer, right? You really need to pay attention to the nonverbal statements you're making and how you talk about your career. And some of those these are very easy to address, but you need to look at your profile and ask yourself, am I using a headshot or profile photo that's current, or am I using one that's dating me? Every once in a while, I'll work with a senior leader that's clearly using a much older profile picture. And sometimes when I inquire, they'll say, well, I'm using that photo because I look, I'm younger. And the answer is, just because you were younger doesn't mean you look young, right? Profile hairstyles change, clothing styles change, headshot styles change. So you want to look at your images and make sure you're not using one that's got like your 1980s power suit where you look dated. That's number one. Number two, in your skills section, are you highlighting outdated skills? Tech skills change, computer language skills change, what's considered to be a skill changes. I worked with a client recently who had a wonderful 40-year career as a senior ad sales leader, and her second skill on her LinkedIn profile was Microsoft Office. I had to say to her, that's signaling the wrong thing. Microsoft Office is not really a skill at your level. Everyone knows how to use Microsoft Office now. So you want to turn your profile kind of inside and out and make sure you're eliminating things that can make you look dated. Are your recommendations all from, 5, 10, 15 years ago? If so, time to get some new ones. You can even ask somebody to write a recommendation this month about work you've done in the past. At least the date for the recommendation will be more current. Another thing that I recommend doing is checking out your emails. Emails change as well. If you're still using a Hotmail or an Earthlink or an AOL email, time to update that as well, so that you're using a Gmail or perhaps using an email with a domain name. So you would be, you know, mac@macpritchard.com versus mac@earthlink. And then finally, I love to offer this tip to clients. Ask somebody young in your life to review your profile for you. Maybe it's a college child, maybe it's your niece or nephew or a young neighbor or a young mentee. Get them to look over your profile and flag anything that might be signaling that you're dated or not quite current. A quick example of this is that many people of a certain generation, and I put myself in it, do two spaces after a period when they're typing. We were all trained to do that. But today's younger, digital native employees are only using one after a period because they're all used to typing directly on, on a computer. So this is a small thing, but it also signals that you're from a different era. So if you want to be signaling that your skills and your experience are current and that you're connected and confident and ready to hit the ground running for that employer, you want to make sure that every aspect of your LinkedIn profile is signaling exactly that.
Oh, terrific advice, Katie. Now tell us what's next for you.
Well, I'm very excited. I just launched my first e-learning course. It's a mini course on crafting a very strong, keyword-rich LinkedIn headline that gets you noticed and connected to the right professional opportunities. I'm offering that on my website. And I'm also really excited this month to be featured in Mika Brzezinski's new book on comeback careers. She wrote that with her sister-in-law, Jenny. And it's called Comeback Careers, Rethink, Refresh, and Reinvent Your Career at 40, 50, and Beyond. And it's a wonderful resource for people who are looking to get back to work. And it's a terrific resource for people who are struggling with how to communicate about career gaps.
Well, I know people can learn more about you, your company, your services, and your new course and the new book from the Brzezinskis by visiting your website. That's therebootgroup.com. Now, Katie, you had so much great advice for us today. What's the one thing you want a listener to remember when talking about gaps in a LinkedIn profile?
I want them to remember to be confident in what it is that they offer. Communicate your gap, why it exists, 1 to 2 sentences, and then move on. Move on to communicating your value and what it is that you offer to an employer, the magic that's going to happen when you start working together, because that's what gets you hired. Focus on your value, not on your gap. You have a lot to offer.
Just as you need to explain employment gaps, you've also got to be ready for behavioral interview questions. Don't walk into your next job interview and wing it. Get your copy today of 100 Behavioral Interview Questions You Need to Know. Go to maxlist.org/questions. Again, that's maxlist.org/questions. On our next episode, our guest will be Lauren Bell. She's a career strategist with Project Line Services in Seattle. And Lauren and I will talk about how you can find a family-friendly job. She's got great advice about how to research companies, set your own goals and boundaries, and get remote jobs that allow you to work from home. I hope you'll join us. Until next Wednesday, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.